I'm not as strong as the guy, so I can't get up here and lift it up, right, without falling over. So there, I'm going to go that way. It's just amazing to me that they gave me the topic of celebration on the same day as water baptism. Isn't that neat how they arranged that? And what a better time to celebrate than when 29 people publicly tell us that they are now new creatures, that the old is gone and the new has come. Is that amazing? They have been birthed in the kingdom of God. I don't think we can celebrate that enough. So today, I'm going to put my big Bible over here so I can get to my notes. Hey, family, we have a memory verse, don't we? Let's take a look at that before I get amped up. What's our memory verse? Guard your heart for... You guys are... Ooh, I cut you off. You're getting this. Let's do it one more time and really mean it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 4:23. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. You guys are awesome. Does this scripture come back to you during the week? I hope that it does. When I think about input equals output, do you ever think of that? Ooh, what I feed myself comes out, right? So when I am feeding myself unhealthy stuff, this scripture comes back very strongly to me. And the Holy Spirit becomes alive in me and cautions me about, you don't want to listen to that. You don't want to spend time in that. You want to be where you're supposed to be, Lucy, guarding your heart and serving Jesus. So, celebration. Why do we celebrate? What do we celebrate? And one thing I know about celebrating is there needs to be a purpose, doesn't there? We're usually celebrating or honoring a day or a season or an event that has occurred. We celebrate holidays. And what does celebration do for us as human beings? How does it strengthen us? So I want you to think about that for a minute. Why do we celebrate? What does it do to you and to your life? Well, I think it lifts our spirits. I think when we know a celebration is coming, we get a little bit of a smile on our face and a little bit of a light step on our feet, because usually we're celebrating an accomplishment or something that we have mastered. Sometimes I'm celebrating something that's come to an end and something new that I get to begin. But I know that celebration always gives me a bit of hope, just plants a little bit of hope in me that things move on, things can be joyful. Some of us are great celebrators. I think I learned to celebrate the best when I met my sister-in-law, who's quite a bit younger than me, but she celebrated almost everything with her children, and it was always such a joy to be with her because everything was quite an accomplishment. I wasn't a great celebrator for whatever reasons, but she taught me the joy of stop and celebrate. Sometimes it's an individual celebration where I say, that a girl, Lucy, you did it, right? Do you ever do that? That's a moment of celebrating. And sometimes celebrating is corporate or it's in the community. The word celebrate was birthed way back when in the decade of 1520. And the Latin word for celebrate means big assembly. It means coming together. And in the Old Testament, God required regular celebrations. Did you know that? God loves to celebrate. And he called these celebrations in the Old Testament festivals. And what he would do with festivals is he would always call the people of Israel back together. And he would tell them, come to Jerusalem. It's time to celebrate. And their calendars were marked with those festivals and the dates of those festivals. And they would stay for a length of time celebrating. I find it fascinating that God is always drawing his people into community. He's always calling us back together. And he wants to give us reasons for doing that. So I'm thinking about celebrating and the purpose of that in the kingdom of God. And I've been chewing on that for a couple of months. And then the new year arrives. And I love New Year's because it gives me a time to look back at the year that I've just completed and to kind of go over it and look at what was done well, what needs a little improvement. And then I'm able to kind of fold it up and put it away. But I really love looking at the new year with the help of the Holy Spirit and asking for new goals, new vision, new life. And this year I asked for the Holy Spirit to give me a scripture. And I do that all the time. I'll ask God for a scripture that he wants to impress upon my life. Sometimes I get a huge impression. Sometimes I will focus and say, I'm gonna choose this. So in asking God for a scripture for 2012, and contemplating that, I was listening to one of my favorite Bible teachers, and he was speaking on the kingdom of God. And at that time, I had a huge impression from the Holy Spirit to look up the kingdom of God and what that meant to me. Now, I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit speaks to me and impresses things on me, I've not ever had an audible voice. I'm not saying that you can't, but I have not experienced that. It's more like a pitch, and you catch a ball. You guys have caught balls, right? You know that catch feeling. So it's more like he throws me a ball, and I catch it in my spirit. And so as my favorite teacher was speaking, and he began to speak on the kingdom of God, I caught the ball and went, okay, this is of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants me to focus on. And so I got out my Bible, and I looked up the kingdom of God. The first thing I noticed is that early in Jesus' ministry, after he had done the 40 days of fasting and in the desert, and he came out and began to speak and teach, he made it very clear to us and to his disciples what the theme of his ministry would be. We have in Matthew 4:17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And in Mark 1:15, he said, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And in Luke 4:43, he makes a declaration to the disciples. I think they had other plans for him, and he just stopped them and said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." The kingdom of God is the theme of Jesus' message during his time of ministry. Now, I kind of have struggled with kind of understanding the kingdom of God, because I tend to look in the future with the kingdom of God. The Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's probably being quoted in many communities this morning, communities of faith. And when I look at that passage, I sometimes would think, oh, the new millennium, that's when the kingdom of God is coming. When Jesus returns, that's when the kingdom of God will be released upon the earth. But that isn't what this is talking about. Jesus was saying to us, the kingdom of God is now. It's also in the future, but it is now. It's in the present time. It's a spiritual reality. So I looked this up in the Greek and found that when it says, in one of the King James versions, it says, "The kingdom of God is at hand." You guys have probably seen that passage. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. And it says that the kingdom of God is at hand. At hand means to be near or to join one thing to another. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is joining one thing to another. So this is what I want you to do with me. Can you put your dominant hand out in front of you, whether it's left hand or right hand? And I want us to take a look at this passage, the one that we have in Mark 1:15, if you can put that up on the screen for me. And I want us to look at our hand. I want you to speak to yourself just in a whisper, because we need to get this in our spirit, because I want to trust the Holy Spirit to make this alive in us this morning. And I want you to look at your hand. I want you to tell yourself, the kingdom of God is at hand. Can you do that? The kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah. And I believe the good news. Okay. Now, I want you to lift your head. And we're going to say the kingdom of God is near. Can you say that with me? The kingdom of God is near. Let's say that again like we believe it. The kingdom of God is near. Now turn to your neighbor and say, and I believe the good news. I believe the good news. It's here. It's now. It is reality around me. Jesus came to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. And he is our example of joining the spiritual to the physical. He began as a spiritual being. He came to earth as man, as a physical being, partnered it with the spiritual, modeling that for us. And then when he was ascended, he was spiritual once again. So I have some pictures I want to show you. I love these photographs that are one picture, but has two images. I have three of them I want to show you. Let's start with the first one. Okay, you guys have seen this before. It's the wine goblet and the faces, right? Do you see that? Okay, now this is what I told myself. Lucy, you can see both of those at once. Come on, stare at that and see if you can get them both. It's really difficult, isn't it? My eyes kind of cross when I try to see them both. So I go, wine goblet, face. Wine goblet, face. And now I have another picture I want to show you. What do you see? You see a rabbit or do you see a bird? Oh, yes, exactly. So let's take a look at this. Rabbit, bird. Rabbit. Now, are there some of you that can't see them? Oh, you all get it. Okay, I hear some talking. So I wonder if they're going, well, where is it? Where is it? There it is. Rabbit, bird. Rabbit, bird. Pretty easy, huh, to shift. Isn't it an awareness of two images in one? But you have to physically shift your vision, don't you? You have to shift it. Now, the next one's a little more difficult. Those first two were easy. Now, here, the beautiful maiden. Now, find the old lady. Oh, that's a little more difficult, isn't it? Beautiful maiden, old lady. I'll give you a few seconds. See, that's a little more difficult, isn't it? Okay, now follow me. Beautiful maiden, shift, old lady. Back, beautiful maiden, old lady. It's a little more difficult to find both images, isn't it? Now I want us to go back to the wine goblet, please. And I want you to look at this with me. I want this to be an illustration with us, for each one of us, to get the joining of one to another, the spiritual to the physical, and what that's like for us human beings, okay? So let's take a look at the goblet. Now get this pace with me. Goblet, face. Goblet, face. Goblet, face. I love awareness. I love it. Enlightenment. That's what it's about, huh? Okay, let's get back on this. Are you with me? Okay. Goblet, face. Goblet, face. Goblet, face. Physical, spiritual. Physical, spiritual. Physical, spiritual, temporary, eternal, temporary, eternal, dead, alive, dead, alive, dead, alive, lost, found, lost, found, lost, found. Physical, spiritual. Physical, spiritual. The physical will pass away. It's temporary. This tent is fading. It's withering. I'm not who I was 20 years ago. Eternity. Eternity is more than just a quantity of time. Eternity is about quality of living. Physical, spiritual. Physical, spiritual. The joining of both. Now I have to admit to you, I have difficulty with my awareness of moving from one reality to the next, much like the disciples struggled. The disciples had a very difficult time believing Jesus came to be a spiritual king. They definitely, desperately wanted a physical kingdom and a physical throne. And they got stuck in the physical. Some of us did that this morning, huh? It was like, where's the other image? Where's the other image? Sometimes it's very easy for us to shift in our awareness. And when, with the harder picture, the beautiful maiden, it was a little more difficult for us to find and become aware of that other reality. And the disciples experienced what I experience. God promises to meet all of my needs in the physical realm. He says in Matthew 6, I know the sparrows and I feed the sparrows. I clothe the lilies of the field. I provide clothing and shelter and food for you. Come on up. Come on into the spiritual. Don't worry about the physical. Come into the spiritual. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of the physical will be taken care of. Jesus is more concerned about the spiritual. He cares more about my spiritual being than he does about my physical being. He cares more about my spiritual blindness, my spiritual deafness, my spiritual lameness is what Jesus cares about. That's what he deals with me about. He says, Lucy, don't worry about the physical. I've got that taken care of. Come on over. Come on over to the spiritual realm. But sometimes I've been so caught up in the physical, even though I'm a kingdom agent, because I'm in the kingdom of God, that I am not aware of the spiritual. And some of you might be saying, "What? Are you kidding me, Lucy? God doesn't care about my physical pain. He doesn't care about my physical worries." Yes, he does. And that might have felt like a curveball I threw you. And if it did, I want you to take that as from the Holy Spirit and write that down in your notes so that you can go home and go over that with the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit, for those of us that have crossed the line of faith, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide. Actually, I call him my tour guide of the kingdom, right? When I was birthed into the kingdom of God, and I pictured myself walking into this new castle, because I'm kind of a castle type person, the Holy Spirit pulled up in his Jeep and said, "Get in, Lucy. I'm going to be your tour guide throughout the kingdom of God, throughout your life." And he teaches me, and he guides me, and he throws me. He throws me pitches that he says, you need to catch this. And you need to think of this and walk in this. And so this morning, some of you had a ball pitched at you. Because I could feel it. I could feel it in this place. Take note of that and go home and wrestle that out with the Holy Spirit. He's not afraid of your wrestling matches. He invites it. He says, come on. Come on. Come into the spiritual. Let go of the physical. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's exciting to me. I get kind of excited in my spirit when I realize that Jesus came to be a spiritual king, to rule and reign in my life. And he is the physical model of joining one reality to another and living a spiritual life dedicated to God and the kingdom. And he modeled that for you and I. So in the physical, another neat truth, you guys, is the physical and the spiritual parallel each other. They parallel. So in the physical, we celebrate new birth, don't we? New babies, new life. And I'm a grandmother. I have two beautiful grandchildren, a little boy who is 5 and a little girl who is 3. And they are the joy of our lives because they make me laugh. The silliest things with grandbabies, we just laugh and laugh and laugh. And that's why I love having them around. If I've had a really tough week, we need to go see the grandchildren because they cause me to laugh. And the Word of God tells us what? Laughter is a good medicine, isn't it? It's a good medicine. And so I bring those grandbabies around. And we had a wonderful time when they were born. We were excited about these new life that was going to come into the same home. And celebrated a lot over them. And we continue to celebrate their birthdays, their accomplishments. The wonderful thing is I have 2 more grandbabies coming this year. Is that awesome? I know. I'm excited. And we found out the 2 grandbabies that we have are our sons. And we found out that our daughter is having one in June. And we just found out it's a girl. Another hoo-hoo! We got really excited over having another power woman in the family. And so now it's become even more personal because we know this baby is a girl. Now it's about naming this child, right? So now I get to buy cute little things and deliver them. I get to make name suggestions like Little Lucy. I think that would be an excellent name. We just are having fun. And shortly after she told us that they were expecting their first child, our son told us they're going to have their 3rd. So, and we don't know yet what the 3rd one is. But we are very excited about celebrating new life in our physical world. But did you know the same is true in the spiritual world? In the kingdom of God, even though I'm discovering after 6 weeks of studying the kingdom of God, I'm discovering that the kingdom of God is an entirely different culture. And there's things in my physical life that belong in my physical culture that don't belong anywhere in my spiritual culture. Now, that's a different topic for a different day. But I'm having great fun in discovering what's okay in the kingdom of God, what's exciting in the kingdom of God, and what pleases his heart. And one is new birth in the kingdom. Water baptism, as you know, is mandated by Jesus. Jesus set that as an example for us. And he says, do this, because it's a huge, huge celebration in the kingdom, when there is life, new birth into the kingdom of God. So, as I continue studying about the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit threw me another ball. And it's in Luke 17:20, and it's not in your notes, so you might want to go home and look it up. Luke 17:20, 21. And once again, the disciples are kind of wrestling with this physical realm, and they're saying, all right, Lord, now can you tell us, when are you going to establish your kingdom here on earth? When is that going to happen? Is it coming soon? Maybe in the next year? Maybe you're not going to do it for 5 years? When's this going to happen? And once again, Jesus had to stop them and say, stop, stop. You can't look for it. It's not going to be around you. Luke tells us in red letters, Jesus said to them, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within me. Oh, it's near. and it's within me. So this morning, we sang a song that had a whole lot to do with that verse I've been chewing on all week. Christ in me. Christ is formed in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, and I'm still working on that. The kingdom of God is within me. Now that's something to celebrate, isn't it? Whoa! So if the kingdom of God is within me, and the kingdom of God is all around me, how can I possibly ignore it? Huh? How can I possibly not get into the Jeep with the Holy Spirit and say, show me the landscape. Introduce me to what's going on. What's important to Jesus? That's a celebration. That is exciting to me. And I'm looking forward to this year of really unloading that and unwrapping it. God is always calling us to come together. He's always beckoning us to community. I think that's one reason he had water baptism, and he said, make it public. Don't do this in secret. Make it public, and so that as a community we could come together and be excited with each other. So Luke 15, I want to talk to you about what is the first celebration in our lives as we enter the kingdom of God, as we're birthed. And Luke 15 shares with us that key celebration. And it is just amazing. And it's the finding of lost things. And it is so important. It is so important to Jesus that we get this. He told it three times, three different ways. So I want to show this to you. Luke 15, if you have your Bibles, and it's predominantly red letters. You know what's another neat way to read the word, you guys? Just read the red letters for a month. Start in one of the Gospels and just read the red letters. Because that's Jesus' words to us. So I want to start at 4. 15:4. Actually, I'm going to start at 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, man, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, this is Jesus' summary. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So rejoicing in heaven. So not only are we celebrating here, guess where else we're celebrating? In heaven, in the spiritual realm. Now the second story that he tells to emphasize the importance of celebrating and how important it is to recover the loss is the woman who lost her coin. We read about the lost coin and the woman who searched diligently for this coin. And when she found it, Jesus said, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So the angels rejoice. I would love to see an angel party. Would you love to see that? Yeah, it's like, do they use music? Is it just harps and trumpets? Do they have some other updated music that they're using? Do they dance? It would just, so picture that. Picture that. Heaven rejoices, angels rejoice over the repentance of one sinner. And then we have the story of the prodigal son. And we all know that, how the son left and returned. And then as the father is talking to the older son, because the older son's a little bothered by the celebrating, He says to him, "My son," the father says, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Now I want you to get just that verse. "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Now that caused me to shift right into communion. Oh, how does that fit into communion in the kingdom of God for those of us that have already been baptized and we're already in the kingdom? But that's not what we're talking about today. But this is what the Father says. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And we know the story of the huge barbecue that the dad threw for the son who was lost and is found. And that is the first celebration that occurs in the kingdom of God for you and I when we cross the line of faith. It's that new birth that occurs. And we need to celebrate it more. We need to let that resound in us. And as we hang out in the spiritual realm instead of the physical, we become more and more aware. I don't know if any of you felt this morning that excitement when these people were being baptized and you watched them on the screen. Did something in you just start getting excited over, whoa, look at what has happened in the kingdom of God? And that's the Holy Spirit within us stirring us up and saying, pay attention to this. The angels are rejoicing in heaven right now over the 29 who took the step of faith to be baptized publicly in front of us. It's an amazing time in the kingdom. And I always think about how amazing it is that I followed Christ, that he pursued me, that he called me to be a part of his kingdom. Every time I see a water baptism, it just kind of strikes me that I am a part of this kingdom living. And that it was nothing that I did. It was nothing that I said that made me worthy of anything that the kingdom has to offer me. But it's because Jesus said he chose me, he pursued me, and it had nothing to do with me choosing him. And to this day, I am thankful and I am moved when I see kingdom happenings with new birth. So that's exciting. So we need to learn, as we figure out this kingdom of God living with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to pay attention to what's worth celebrating in the kingdom. And how much time am I spending in the physical when I should be spending it in the spiritual, studying, reading, living in the kingdom of God? Now, some of you today would say, Lucy, celebrating really isn't where I am right now. I love Jesus. I've been in the kingdom for a while, and I believe in his word. But at this time, I am broken, I am damaged, and I am suffering. And as I was studying this, I thought about that. I thought, Lord, there's people in this congregation who are in a season of their life where celebrating isn't something they can do right now. And the verse that came to me, the scriptures that came to me, and it's in your handout, was Isaiah 61. Because I've had a season of my life where I was very broken. And I was very broken for a long period of time. It wasn't a week or 2 weeks, but it was months and it was years of brokenness. And I can remember crying out to God and telling him, boy, I would really like to have that feeling of joy and celebration, Lord, because I believe in you, and I know that I'm in your kingdom, but I'm not having those good feelings, right? And I remember the day the Lord spoke to me out of Isaiah, and this same passage is in the Gospels. But I brought it from Isaiah for you today. And it has to do with Jesus saying he was here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor. And I want those of you that say, that is where I am, I want you to take that passage and cling to it and realize that a day is coming for you in the kingdom of God where your wailing and your mourning will be turned to dancing. And you will be celebrating in the physical as much as in the spirit with us. And you will be known as oaks of righteousness, plantings of the Lord, because you stayed faithful to God. You've stayed faithful in his kingdom as you allowed him to cover you and pour his grace upon you. As we walk in the kingdom of God, and as we journey farther into the kingdom, and not just staying at the gate, but we journey in and we become his disciples, and we become kingdom agents, and live by faith, his blessings will be poured out upon us, and our physical needs will be met totally, and we will be walking in joy and newness of life and declaring that to those around us, bringing life to all who need Jesus. We will be the aroma of Christ to those in our community, and that's what we're celebrating. So I would love for you to stand with me today. And once again, I want you to repeat with me. And I'm going to change it a little bit. So I want you to put your hand out, and we're going to say, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Guess where else it is? The kingdom of God is within me. Can you say that again? The kingdom of God is within me, and I believe the good news. Hallelujah. That's worth celebrating, isn't it? Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the good news of your kingdom. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we leave this place, an awareness of your kingdom that has been birthed in us this morning would grow into life and bearing fruits of righteousness. Lord, that we will be the planting of your kingdom. Bless us as we follow you as your disciples. In your name, Lord. Amen. God be with you.